Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 2014 National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference, and it is 8:04. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Joining me this morning here at the conference, the Reverend Jeff Schonbacher, pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Jefferson City, not too far down the road, just a hop, skip, and a jump, I guess.
Good morning, Andy. It's not too far down the road.
It's good to have you here this morning to get to study God's Word. Tell us about Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Jefferson City.
Well, someone asked me about it, about our congregation yesterday, and you know, about the area, the small town setting that we were in. And I said, well, actually, we call ourselves Emmanuel Honey Creek, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Honey Creek, Missouri, as far as it's not an incorporated area, mm-hmm. but we do have a Honey Creek boarding house for dogs and an RV center, you know. And otherwise, it's the church
sure.
is kind of part of Emmanuel Honey Creek and a big part of just that general area outside as you're heading down towards the lake, about 8 miles outside of Jefferson City.
So Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Honey Creek, and tell us about the folks there in the congregation. Tell us, what do you love about Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Honey Creek?
Well, one of the things that that I say is we're in a context of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the relationships that I have was 40 years, I was actually on a dairy farm in eastern Iowa myself. This is a rural congregation, and they love to embrace the rural lifestyle. Many of them maybe work in Jefferson City, but they want to be rural, and they have that love for mm-hmm. God's earth and for all of those things that would be associated with just being out in those first article things, that
sure.
that land that God has given them.
They really understand the agrarian references in the parables and in the that we see throughout the scriptures.
That's very much so. Yeah, they enjoy the ones about the sheep and the
sure.
you know, and the sower and the seed, and those are very, very real to them. Yes.
Well, very good. Well, today we are studying Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28. It's a lot of text. We'll do our best to get through it today, but there's so much to learn here. I'll read the text for us, and then we'll go back and talk about it. I'll read a section, and then we'll go back and talk about it. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was going away. When his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, but he answered them, "You see these, all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." So here, just in this first paragraph alone, what is Jesus talking about here, Pastor? The temple, he left the temple and was going away, and the disciples came to him to point out the buildings of the temple, but he answered them, "You see all these, don't you?"
Right. Well, and I think you have to understand that the context that they're in and where Jesus has just come from. He's on day two of this journey into Jerusalem. As Sunday, it started off with the hosannas and the children, and he actually went right to the temple and heals the people that are there, the lame and the blind. And then he encounters on that second day, mm-hmm. he goes back to the temple again. And he's in the temple, and he's teaching, and he encounters the Sadducees and the resurrection and the questions about the taxes. And he's working, talking to chief priests and scribes, and he's talking to the crowds, it says. So we have to understand, Jesus is in the temple. And as they're leaving town, the disciples are like, wow, this is a beautiful place. They're talking about the temple itself.
It's a beautiful place. Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.
Yeah, and that's a good point, is that Jesus is actually saying, you see all of this? These big blocks of marble, of stone, that are just too huge architecturally, it seems like, to be even made into a building. And he's saying, don't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
He says, this is all going to be gone. It's going to be left in shambles.
What seems immovable to someone like you or me, neither you nor I could move something. Well, I couldn't. I don't know, maybe you could. You're a farm guy, so maybe you could move a big stone like that. But what seems immovable is not going to be left standing, left one stone upon another will not be left standing.
Yeah, and I think of, to them it seems impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like this wonderful building, this grand architecture, this human design can never be shaken. And yet Jesus is saying, no, it's going to be gone. It's going to be not even one of these huge stones. And they said they were 20 feet deep and almost 40 feet long. These huge stones that some people mm-hmm. could hardly figure out how they could do it back in those days. But they're not even going to be left together. And Jesus is going to the temple. And it's almost like you guys are focusing on the structure and this magnificent facade. You're not seeing deeper.
Mm. But Jesus has something more that they can't see, that they don't perceive yet. Verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. So here he is on the Mount of Olives. Disciples come to him privately saying, tell us then, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming, of the end of the age? What? How are we going to know?
Right, and Jesus is taking them to a whole different perspective now. He's taking them to the Mount of Olives. He's taking them up to a place that geographically is like 200 feet higher in elevation. They're getting a whole perspective of this whole city.
Mm-hmm.
And he's... He's moving them again, trying to get them moving higher than the physical, the first article stuff. He's trying to move them onto the second and third article type of the grace and the mercy and that faith that's he wants them to be assured of, even as all these things mm-hmm. are going to take place. And yet they're asking, well, when's this going to be? How's this going to happen? And it seems to me like they're at least starting to get it a little bit, and I'm hoping that as they're standing there, they're starting to hear some of that eschatological talk, these end time talks that Jesus has talked about way back from chapter 13, talking about the kingdom of heaven is like, and they're all of a sudden they're kind of stuck in both of those worlds, that kingdom of heaven and that kingdom that's sitting here on earth here in Jerusalem.
Are we like the disciples in that they're focusing on, as you said, the first article things, the things that our bodies need, or the earthly things, the things around us, yet Jesus is focusing on the second and third article things, that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, and no one else is, although there will be people who will claim to come as him, claim to be him, and the third article things, that he gives us the faith, he gives us saving faith, he has called us. Are we like the disciples that we focus on those first article things and kind of muddy up the second and third article things?
Oh, there's no doubt in that, Andy. I mean, I think, as one person once put it, Jesus must have had a flat head from hitting himself and going, they don't get it. They're kind of starting to get it, but they're not getting it completely. He's trying to tell them that time is running short. He's trying to move them to the point where they know what's coming, and he's trying to prepare them just for that specific thing that's going to take place when this close of the age is going to be happening.
See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. So the end is not yet.
Yes, and he's saying that all these things are going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying there are going to be those that are going to try to lead you astray in the midst of all of this. And I think it's interesting when he even uses the phrase, I am the Christ, that people are going to be saying that they are setting themselves up as divinity. I mean, and that's a timeless thing that we're seeing still happening today. I mean, for people of my age, you know, the Jim Joneses, the David Koreshes, those people that have set themselves up in that role of saying the Stargate Stargate people, you know, that said,
sure.
You know, that it's coming, and they are the ones with the answers.
How is that different from a pastor on Sunday morning? You know, when we as people confess, I I'm a poor, miserable sinner, and pastor says, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. How is that different from those who come in my name saying I am the Christ that will lead you astray?
Well, the difference is they're not Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As we stand up there as a called and ordained servant of the word, we're speaking on behalf of none other than Jesus Christ. And that as the people receive that forgiveness, they're receiving it as from Christ himself. And they understand that through that they have forgiveness of sins. They have something so much bigger than just this first article earthly stuff. They have something that's going to last forever.
And this is, when that happens, it's different from this in that, that is something that Christ commanded, isn't it? That for the apostles to proclaim that forgiveness of sins in his place.
Well, certainly. I mean, we know that's that commission that he gave us as mm-hmm. he left the earth. Teach, baptize, make disciples, and most of all, go.
Mm-hmm. Forgive sins
yeah.
in my name. All right. Anything else up through verse 8 that you wanted to point out that we might have missed? I know we've got a lot of text to cover this morning, don't we?
We've got to go through a lot. You know, and as we go through some of this, I mean, we don't have to look very far, and we see that all of these things are happening around us. I mean, Jesus says, don't be alarmed that mm-hmm. these things are happening. You know, many times, what do? We seem like we get blindsided. And yet, in the context of what Jesus is saying, he's saying, well, don't be alarmed. Be ready for it.
Yeah.
It has to take place. It's part of God's plan.
All of these are but the beginning of birth pains, he says.
Oh, and I have no idea what that... I've watched my wife go through that 4 different times. But I for the life of me, Andy, cannot understand mm-hmm. why they could not only go through it the first time, but then go through it multiple times. And I think, and that's what we need to understand, it's the birth pains itself are a way to the joy that's on the other side. Mm. There's nothing like seeing the child for the first time, mm-hmm. holding them in your own arms. I'm sure it's just one of those things. And if we understand it as we're going to go through this because it's great on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to see things through those tears. try to see that newborn child through those tears. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Hmm. So they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake.
It seems to me here that there's some type of an authority that Jesus is referring to, some group that's going to deliver them up. And this tribulation, and the word that pops into my hand is, there's going to be trouble, guys. We think of what happens after Jesus ascends into heaven. Peter, John, they're both put in prison. Stephen, stoned. James is executed mm-hmm. by Herod. We have so many Christians throughout time that have been persecuted, have had trouble, and big trouble we're talking about. And I mean, even in these days, and we talk about some of the things that are going on worldwide around us and our relationship to Jesus Christ in comparison to, say, Allah, and what that means for those who stand firm in Jesus Christ is that there's can be that time when that's going to take place, when we're going to be persecuted for that. And mm-hmm. I think of something one of my dear professors, Professor Lewis Brighton, who's studied Revelation mm-hmm. for so many years, talks about, remember that this country as we know it may one day fall, you know. And I think of the Jewish temple. And what is going to remain, And I think this is for understanding this text. It's to understand that Jesus is the one that remains.
We should not be surprised when we face tribulation or are persecuted, put to death, hated by other, by all nations for the sake of Jesus' name.
Right now we're doing a study in our congregation on Sunday mornings on Islam. And we're, you know, in many ways thinking, how can we reach out if we encounter someone like mm-hmm. that? This tells me, yes, we know as Christians we're supposed to reach out and we're supposed to do share the love of Christ that many would be saved. And yet here it kind of tells us that even though we maybe love people, even though we respect them, they may not respect us. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of all of this. So don't be alarmed.
Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray.
And here I think about the parable that Jesus talks about, sowing of the seed, and like I said, our congregation and myself as a dairy and crop farmer for so many years, understand this kind of a scenario of the seed that falls on the rocky ground and that it grows up, but in the times of trouble, mm-hmm. what does it do but wither and die? It's more than a stumbling here, Andy. I see this as something where they are actually falling away from the faith. And that really concerns me as they not only fall away from that, but then they assist in turning other people in, mm-hmm. you might say, to these authorities. And this love that they to have turns to hate.
Let's take a look at verses 12, 13, and 14 before we go to break here. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come.
Yeah, we've had all of this evil that's been inside, and you might say inside and outside of the church itself. Who can keep both this law and gospel in check? You know, mm-hmm. what's the result here? It talks about a love being lost. It's a reference, I think, in many ways that John sees, even as he writes to in Revelation chapter 2, of that first love that's lost. And we want to make sure that we don't fall into either ditch here, lawlessness, antinomianism, mm-hmm. or legalism. And it's keeping it between those two ditches, and we know that's what Jesus is doing here. And all of a sudden you get, the gospel's going to be preached. The gospel is going to be proclaimed. All of a sudden, that's the thing that's going to help us endure to the end. There's a promise here, too, that mm-hmm. we will be saved. And we know that's, in the midst of all these things, that's not something we can do. That's only something that's going to give us that promise, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. We are studying the Daily New Testament Reading, broadcasting live from the National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. We're studying today with Pastor Reverend Jeff Schonbacher from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Honey Creek, Missouri. And we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look at the more of the text. So stick around. We're broadcasting live from the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
My name is Rebecca. After fleeing Sudan and spending years in a refugee camp, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service placed me with a foster family in the U.S. I couldn't have survived without a home, friends, and community to embrace me. Every refugee needs help on their journey. Nobody can do it on their own. For 75 years, LIRS has transformed over 500,000 lives through ministries of mercy and justice. Go to lirs.org/KIT to join us and walk with refugees like me to brighter tomorrows.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
The Apostle Paul once wrote, "For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Problems may seem to sever, God says in Christ, never. Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, inviting you to join me as I talk about your never-severing God. That's Moments of Assurance Sunday at 9:15 a.m. on KFUO.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 2014 National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. We're studying the daily New Testament reading today with the Reverend Jeff Schonbacher from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Honey Creek, Missouri. For folks who may not know where Honey Creek is, that's Jefferson City, Missouri. And it's good to get to study this. It's kind of unusual to be out of the studio and doing our programming, our study of the daily New Testament reading, but it's nice to get out and to be at this conference and get to meet so many people. And Pastor Schonbacher, how about you getting to meet people at this conference and be a part of this conference? What does that mean for you as a pastor?
Well, first, naturally, as I'm connected up with some of these pastor friends that I know are in the same similar context.
Sure.
It's always great to just sit with them and to hear of their joys and, well, yes, yeah, sometimes the struggles too. But it's also the body of Christ. And as I'm sitting in one of these breakout sessions yesterday, and we just kind of went around and said where we were from. And it's just like you feel like you're some part of something bigger.
You're part of the body of Christ.
Well, I thought you were referring to my girth, but just kidding. But it's one of those things where we sit and we are part of the body of Christ. And I think that's what's so wonderful about this. And even though we have a larger rural congregation of 650 souls, we connect up with all of these, and it doesn't really matter whether you have 100 in your congregation, or whether you have thousands in your congregation. We're connected with a similar story. We're connected to the same story, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are studying the daily New Testament reading. We're in Matthew chapter 24 today, verses 1 through 28. About to embark on verses 15 through 28, but before we do that, anything else about the verses 1 through 14 before we go on to the next section, Pastor?
Well, first of all, I think as we go into this next section, we need to remember what context we're coming from again, and that would be that the gospel of the kingdom is going to be proclaimed throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And through this, we are going to endure. And so many times in our settings that we're in, that becomes the story of our life, is enduring. Our own congregation has suffered the loss of a 16-year-old young man. And for many of us, it's not about finding the silver bullet that's going to correct it all, because that just can't happen. Mm-hmm. But the dad told me the other day, and I hope he doesn't mind that I say this, but it's so hard. But God has him right where he wants him. Mm. You know, and even if that's in the deepest of grief, Jesus has us where he wants us. And Jesus is going to be the only answer that's going to help us endure what's going to come at us in this life. Mm-hmm. And to remember Absolutely. That is the key, I think, to this whole passage of Scripture, Andy.
Very good, yeah. We still see things, as you pointed out earlier, we see things through that first article view, but Jesus is taking care of us. He has done that on the cross, second article, and he continues to do so by the power of by the work of the Holy Spirit. There's that third article.
Yeah, and as we move into this, it's not about the calculation of the time to Jesus. It's more so about the primary task. And that's of proclaiming the gospel, sharing that gospel, knowing that that triumph, that glory that Jesus is talking about right before we get into even this whole chapter where he says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's when he comes again. That's what we're going to be proclaiming, not woe is me.
Well, let's take a look at verses 15 through 28. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holding place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, so no human being would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So, if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. All right, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. The abomination of desolation.
Boy, it sure is good that we heard that the gospel is going to be preached right before this.
Absolutely.
As we jump into this, we really get an understanding that it's still about eschatology. It's still about end times here. But I think he's drawing it a little bit closer and saying, you know, you were talking about the temple. Well, we're going to talk about Jerusalem here, that this is a type of the end of what's going to take place. And let's go back to Daniel and see what Daniel talked about. In basically, he's referring to Daniel chapter 9. And when you see this desolation that Daniel talks about, we see that there's something utterly abominable that's going to be taking place in this temple. We're going to see that it's going to be emptied out of worshipers, and they're going to want to get out of Dodge, so to speak. and I think he's even pointing them back to, and I think it's a point where we think of the, in like 168 BC is when like Antiochus the IV set up an altar to a pagan god Zeus in the temple. And in those ways, we see the type of what's going to happen to Jerusalem, as well as what's going to take place in the yet to come. So, I mean, it's really this now and not yet kind of a scenario that he's talking about.
Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak.
Yeah.
And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on Sabbath. Now, we're right by an airport here. It's not that kind of flight.
No, we're not. We're talking about getting away as quick as you can. It's something that is so immediate that you are going to have to flee instantly. You're going to have to get out. And as you see the different references and you think about the mountains and you think of where are you going to go hide, is someplace where people can't find you, where the terrain is so difficult, people don't want to come. It's not going to be a pleasant place to be, but it's going to be better than what it is back where you came from, the roof. And if we remember the architecture of what those houses would have been, is it was kind of like their sun porch was up on top of the roof. And as I was looking at this text a little bit and then some other text, there's almost a scenario of you're not going to want to be on the street. These houses would have been close together. Mm-hmm. I always think of all the chase scenes in all the movies where they're jumping from roof to roof to roof, because they don't want to be caught on the street. And I think that's the scenario here, is there is an active pursuit. And don't even stop to get any of your earthly stuff. Don't go back. That earthly stuff, as we were talking about, those first article things are not what important right now. And the problem is, he says, those who are pregnant, those who are nursing, have children, it's not going to be as easy for them. There's just an urgency here to leave, to get out. If you're out in the field, don't even though you're working and maybe shed most of your clothes for the work, don't even run back to the edge of the field to grab the regular clothes that you're going to wear back home. Don't even stop to get them. Just get out.
And if, let's see, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short.
This is the worst tribulation that's ever going to be known to man. It's, you know, we think of maybe this destruction. And in some ways, I'm thinking of the angel, almost like the angel's message when they came to Lot to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And don't look back, because it's going to be utterly something so big. And this says it's going to be worse. You know that always the problem of worse. Never say it's going to get worse. Can't get worse.
How could it get worse?
That. And here's worse. Here's the worst it's going to be.
The worst of the worst.
Yeah. You know, and so we have, I always say, do you want the bad news or the good news? And I think he's giving really the bad news here first. No one's going to survive that unless, and there's the key word, unless the days are cut short. And we go, okay, so how is that gonna take place? Mm-hmm. Why is it gonna take place? And Jesus says it's for the sake of the elect that they're gonna be cut short. All of a sudden, he's moving us right away back into something that is good news, something for us to grab a hold of and start to cling to, even in the midst of all of this mess.
If those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short, for their sake.
Right. Well, and I think here is a way in which God's people are actually going to bring a certain amount of mercy, even to those who are unrepentant. God's going to be seen in the midst of all of this, of actually cutting it short. And we're on the other side. I think we see that there's going to be those others out there that are saying, no, look at me. Mm-hmm. I've got the answers. Don't we still have that today? We got our self-help books. We've got those who are saying, if you just follow my lead, if you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, it's all going to get better.
Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect.
For heaven's sakes, don't listen to them, is what Jesus is saying. Charisma alone, that's not going to do it. Promises of some earthly deliverance, if you do this, you will be blessed, that's not going to be doing it. These faith healers out there, don't listen to them. Again, what's he doing? He's saying there's only one answer. Mm-hmm. And that's Jesus Christ. I think there's a reference here even to the Antichrist in terms of the, you know, 2 Thessalonians. Paul tells us in chapter 2 about the counterfeit miracles and the signs and the wonders and every sort of evil that's going to go to deceive people. And yet, for the sake of the elect, there is going to be this mercy that's going to come as that time's going to be cut short.
See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, here he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man.
Jesus is saying, I'm telling you this ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go out there. Don't go out to the wilderness. Don't believe it. Don't go to, and I think in that regard, I mean, some people are saying, if John the Baptist shows up in the wilderness, don't go out there. If they say he's in the inner rooms, that's not a place Jesus is going to be. Not in these secret type places, in those that are inaccessible. He is going to be accessible throughout all of this.
For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, there is no end to east, there is no end to west, right?
Right. Well, it's a simple illustration for us. We can be in one spot, and we can see the lightning that's taking on miles and miles and miles away. And Jesus is saying, even as the east is from the west. So he's saying, it's going to be a light show like you have never seen before. There's going to be no denying when he's coming.
Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather.
Well, we end with kind of a morbid look here.
And I think I saw that along the road on the way here a little bit.
You didn't try and scoop it up to fry it or anything?
No.
We usually don't unless, never mind. The spiritually dead are going to attract judgment. It's kind of like bad attracts bad in that regard. Jesus is saying, this is the way it is. That's the way it's been. That's the way it's always going to be. And so don't be alarmed by that. You're the elect. And I think that's the big thing Jesus wants them to understand.
To know that you're the elect. Don't believe these false prophets, these false Christs, these who say here he is, or you know, he's out there, he's out here, he's this thing, he's that thing, and one clue to that is generally that they're going to focus on first article things, they're going to focus on worldly things,
and don't we all?
Yeah,
we all get stuck in that mode of looking at the things that are around us, and yet there is something bigger. There's something more important. There's something that cuts through all of this, and that's Jesus. We're going to see the end is coming. The signs are going to be there. We're going to face worse. People are going to try and lead us astray. We have no chance, really, unless we're focused on Jesus.
And how do we do that? Where do we find Jesus and his promises?
Well, that's preaching to the choir in terms of, we know where that comes. That comes through the word and the sacraments. It comes through the preaching of God's good news that he has died for our sins, that he paid the ultimate price that we will not have to pay because he did it for us. He rose from the dead to say that we have victory past even thing like death. And that as he ascended into heaven, we've got a place prepared for us. And that's not just talking about when we die, but it's also talking about when he comes again. We know that's the good news of his kingdom, that kingdom that's going to last forever. That's the thing that we're looking forward to, Andy, and we know it comes to us by his word. And as we're baptized into his name, that washing of water with the word that claims us as his elect, that gives us that promise of the Holy Spirit, that brings us to the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ and washes away all of our sins.
Amen. Well, we've been studying the daily New Testament reading, Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28 today with Pastor Jeff Schonbacher from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Honey Creek, Missouri. And we're broadcasting from the National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. And Pastor, what are you looking forward to going to next today? I'm so glad that we got to study God's Word together. What are you up to, headed to next?
Well, there's so many great things here, and I had to pick and choose. I mean, I'm looking forward to the plenaries of all the wonderful speakers we have, and from Larry Rass to Dale Meyer to, well, you just talked with Richard Boring, and sadly you made me miss that, but thankfully I got to listen in a little bit as you were talking to him here live on KFUO. But then just all the individual little things about stewardship and discipleship and outreach. And we have a school of about 120 children out there in Honey Creek. And So how do you integrate that children's ministry and use it as an outreach tool to engage the community around us to establish relationships?
Well, very good. So glad that you're here. Thanks for taking time to study God's Word with us, and I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you for having me, Andy. It's been a pleasure.
God bless you and all the saints at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Honey Creek, Missouri.
Well, and God bless KFUO.
Thank you. Well, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with some more attendees here at the National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference as we're broadcasting live from the conference today and celebrating 90 years of broadcast ministry on listener-supported worldwide KFUO. So good to be here, and we've got more conversations coming up right here on His Time on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.